Welcome to Drinking Bros, presented by GhostBed.com. Sit back, relax, and grab a fucking drink.
Welcome to Drinking Bros, kids. These Sunday night shows, man. We record them on Fridays, and then we get rocked. A buddy of mine is in town from Wilmington, North Carolina, owns all the brunches out there where Hard AF Seltzer served, and he is coming up with a new mimosa drink, so we're testing them out. Do you guys do this for Black Rifle Coffee? Do you test out a bunch of coffees and all that stuff?
They bring the cans in, like, and there's a whole process, you know? That's
right.
Why Evan and Edwin, you know, Chief of Coffee,
yeah,
you know, that's all they're always doing. It's trying nitros, trying different things, and then...
How do you drink coffee all day and not just absolutely...
I think it's Evan's
paint the toilet.
I think it's Evan's system. Like, I think his entire existence inside his body is either immune or runs strictly on coffee being caffeine.
So he's not in the toilet like 4 to 8 hours a day.
But we'll have like 8 of these things over the course of a day. Like,
okay.
8 gnarly cups of coffee.
Now, I'm going to switch it for booze. Now, for booze, we're just drinking all day, so we're trying all these fun, flirty mimosa
drinks.
Yeah,
but you only
get
through like 3 where you still have, you know, the wits of you of whether or not that's a good flavor.
Right.
Otherwise, you're like on your 9th one, this one's the best.
Perfect. I'm so glad you said that. We chose 3. So we have 3 packs in there of 3 different kinds, and then we'll see what happens. But I'm already lit today, so who gives a fuck? It's on today.
Whoa!
You've got a new girlfriend back there.
Yeah.
She's got a Carhartt little beanie on.
Yeah, it's cute.
Which is fun
really
and flirty
cute.
There. I think that's like the first, 3 months of dating? It's always the Carhartt beanie, and then it's tied back in a ponytail, and then it's a lot of fuck yous after that, you know? This is the Carhartt beanie is the good stage of the relationship.
We just won't get to the fuck yous, you know?
And then it'll get dark after that. I'm not saying
for
you.
At least the fun ones.
Yeah. I'm just saying for everybody in general, not you, but just everybody in general, where you're like, hey, it's kind of chilly. I got the Carhartt beanie on. And then 3 months later, it's an ex-boyfriend's hat and all that other shit, and you're just like, holy Christ. You don't even like the Cowboys, you bitch. I've never seen you cheer for Dak Prescott, you bitch. Whose hat is that? Whose hat is that?
Oh, God. You're giving me too much credit because that would soar over my head. I'm not that kind of detail-oriented in the aspect of whose hat is that. I'd be like, oh, cool, Cowboys.
But if there was a motocross helmet hanging in the garage on a hook, you'd be like, what the fuck?
No, I'd kind of be like, that's yours, right? Like, that's kind of cool. Like, hey, have you ever seen a freestyle jet ski? Because you're going to need that helmet if we go out on mine. Fucking broke, I broke it.
Did you smash something?
Dude, it was down for over a year. Mark Gomez had it in Florida or in Phoenix at Lake Havasu.
Was this the same one we put in your parents' pool?
Yes.
Okay.
So it was broken. Like, there was a bunch of things wrong with it. And then Mark had it for a year, completely rebuilt the motor, fixed all the things that were wrong with it from the get-go. Like, because I ended up like buying the last one of this company that had just been bought out.
Okay.
Like, and so they just as fast as they could threw this thing together and gave it to me. So there's a bunch of issues with it.
Is it like a car where you have payments over, you know, 5 years or what happens with those things?
This is just a jet ski. Like, you're buying.
I don't even know how much they are.
Like, I think I paid $12,000 for it initially, but then I had to dump another $12,000 into it.
Right.
That Mark.
So no lease or no money?
No lease.
No 5-year plan?
It was just all that.
An outright cash. Oh, he rich? He rich? I got to tell your new girlfriend, he rich?
I get this
buddy,
thing
all
back.
All of a sudden start.
and I have it for a week, and I'm going out with Madison, my oldest daughter, to try and teach her how to do it. And as soon as we take it out of the back of the truck, the catch hook wasn't tied right, and it just fell and just broke the entire impeller assembly. So now it's just, again, it's the largest yard paper. And remember when we were...
Is that it right there?
No, that's not it.
I was looking up jet ski prices.
Yeah, what do we got there for something like that? Pop that up on screen so the audience
$22,000.
Can see it.
Yeah, but that's not a freestyle ski, number one.
What is that? Is that for Jamaica?
You need to look up Richter, R-I-C-H-T-E-R, jet ski.
As in the scale. As in the Richter scale.
Richter skis.
That jet ski he pulled up, that's like a Jamaica jet ski.
Yeah, that's a rental, you know.
Right.
One that you give to a tourist that has never ridden anything.
That's me.
In their
the
life.
Big guy
like,
over
see,
here.
See, this is it. This is a ski that you can go take out in the ocean and backflip.
Oh, all right. Look at these goddamn things.
Now, I don't have a Richter, but
can you do that
style.
Move that guy just did?
No, not quite. Now, I've done a backflip. Very close to landing the backflip. I can't keep the jet ski running for more than a week.
What's wrong with it? What's wrong with the goddamn thing?
Well, no, because I dropped it. Well, first, you remember when we brought that wood chipper out and it threw a 2x4 through the whole thing?
Yeah.
So, I mean, there was that.
Yeah. which happens.
Yeah, 2x4 just goes straight through the whole jet ski.
When you put a wood chipper that close to a jet ski... I knew it was going to happen. I knew there was going to be some collateral damage there that day, but whatever. Why not get another one of these goddamn things?
Well, you know what? How about we try and keep the one running that I have?
Okay.
Like, I don't think I need two if I can't even have one that is seaworthy.
People love them, dude. On Lake Travis, we were out when it was warmer, obviously. Saw people ripping it up out there. And the way that they take these things seriously, it's great. I've only done it, I think, maybe 3 or 4 times, but it was always on a vacation type
sitch.
You could
literally have entertainment by going to a very high touristy location where a bunch of people that don't belong on anything personally motorized are renting these things, because there's always accidents.
Always
they
accidents.
Hit each other.
Uh-huh.
They run into docks. Like it's like, remember we talked about like trying to start like a boat ramp reality show where we just hang out at a boat ramp on Memorial Day weekend and just watch all the divorces unfold in front of your eyes.
The boating world and that whole community is awful. It's awful.
I believe
I would never buy a boat.
NFL player missed the season because he was hit by a jet ski.
He did. And I saw a woman down in Jamaica get hit by a jet ski. She accidentally hit her niece. Took out her knees. Now, homegirl was fine. It was a big bruise and a small cut, but she was all right. But the boating
world, though, like,
it's nuts.
Like, if you, again, I had to spend like three hours, I think. It was in Salt Lake. It was at the end of the summer. We were waiting for somebody else to get up there with their truck. We just didn't have it. It was me and Party Ben. So we were just hanging out at the boat ramp, just watching. Like, in that 3 hours, we saw probably 8 fights just over, like, boat guests versus boat owners.
Yeah.
So, like, people that invited their friends out to hang out on the day for the boat, and they're like people fighting over what food, like one of the fights was over like the woman like grabbed all the bags of chips that they had brought for the day to like take home, and like that just caused this meltdown of like, really, you're gonna take your fucking chips like after you just spent the whole day on our boat? And we're sitting there like, holy shit, this is a TV show.
Oh, dude, people are catty. Those women will fucking wrap up half a potato salad. You know, that, like, it's a $2.34 purchase.
And we're going to go ahead and take this with us. Yeah, like,
I'm
what?
We might have some people over later. I'm going to take that. Is that the thing that you brought for me, and now you're going to take that?
Yeah. No gas. Like, that's the thing. These fights just, like, and you hear everything in that. Like, they're like, you didn't fucking offer to pay for gas. You didn't offer this.
Yep.
You didn't even do this. Like, you couldn't even bring a life jacket. You're like, I'll sit here all day long and watch this. This is hilarious.
I didn't know about the gas sitch. So the last time Jesse and I were out on one, we go back and they're like, hey, we got to fill up gas. And I was like, oh, shit, let me help you out. And I reached into my bathing suit. I have no wallet. I'm in a fucking bathing suit. I have nothing on me, but at least I made the effort. And he was like, no, it's part of the thing and I'll get it or whatever. And I go, so let me get this straight. You take it out and then you bring it back. You have to gas it and then take it back to the other place. And there was a line for gas with all these boats. All of it seems like a nightmare to me. I'm not shitting on boating people, by the way, because I actually admire them. The ones who take it seriously and know all the cool shit, you're like, you know what?
Yeah, but here in Austin, it's like between $600 and $800 a day with a driver.
Yes.
So you can rent a wakeboard boat with a dedicated driver that's either the boat owner or somebody that works for the boat company that isn't drinking, isn't partying, isn't doing anything. He's just driving the boat. Why the like, do that?
I know. Like, just do it.
Or you could spend $121,000 on a wakeboard boat.
Save your marriage.
I mean, okay, that's 121 boat rentals.
Yeah.
Like,
Will you go out 121 times on a boat?
No, probably not.
No, you won't.
Probably not.
You won't.
Like, you're talking like half the year.
2-3 times a summer, maybe, and that's kind of it.
So, I mean, if you could look, if you really look at this from a cost perspective, save your money.
Or just have a friend with a boat, and then they can fucking deal with it, and then throw him a 20 on the way out. Leave the potato salad and say, we're all good.
Leave,
I love you.
Leave that. This is a public service announcement right there. If you go out on a friend's boat, you don't take the stuff you brought.
Nope.
Especially the booze.
Oh.
That's what starts the fight.
Sure.
Is when they're grabbing, you know, the half bottle of Jameson that was left over. Like, boat owner wife is like, oh, you just did not do that in front of me.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Or the worst is when somebody takes a soggy 12-pack box.
Oh, God.
Back and
it's just
like
leaking all, everywhere.
Oh, yeah. There's one over here. One that's all fucking ripped open like this. And they're like, it's wet. It's soggy. And you're like, oh, hey. There's two left. I'm going to take these with me. And it's like, here, take the goddamn thing, Jim. All right, take them.
You want two. You want two Busch Lights.
Yeah.
You needed to keep for yourself. I mean, although there is a thing like kind of take your trash like off the boat,
and I'll do that.
I'm fine with that.
But they'll put the two extra cans in there, and then you know, oh, I'm going to take these with me. Like, cool. Why don't you give me a pocket full of Arrowheads, Indian
they're
giver?
Like, they're in there like singling out the beers they brought out of the cooler, like to stack.
Yeah. taking God, a dude. Marker and just writing
just
their initials on them.
If you're just a boat passenger, you probably suck.
And I've by the way, I've seen this move too, where they write on permanent marker. It's my initials. Swear to God. It's
on
my
their
initials.
Cans?
Just in case. This is mine. Don't have it. Don't worry. I got it. It's mine.
Listen, I had the gluten-free beer. Nobody else drink that. It's the only beer I could drink.
Exactly. Or some sugar-free wine.
Oh, God.
That's, you know, you got to go to Whole Foods
for. So let's just stop being friends with anybody that's a boat passenger.
I think
I think we're good with that.
I don't even know that I started being
so
friends.
So there's that, and then there's another category of people that are even lower than that, and that is that those are the people that want to get into their fucking bag when they're loading an airplane.
Oh, like, yeah. Yeah.
Put your fucking headphones in your pocket before you get in line.
You know what you're doing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, but you know what? I'm going to go ahead and search for fucking 90 fucking things. Like, while I'm holding up the entire 234 fucking roster of this plane. I just had that happen in Salt Lake. Arguably the biggest fucking piece of shit pussy I've ever seen in my life. Like, he had his family, like his wife and his two kids with him. And like, this dude was like having a fucking, like a meltdown upon takeoff where he had to reach across the aisle and hold his wife's hand as he was like just coming unglued over the takeoff. And it's just like, oh, you weak fucking bitch.
Oh, you're not in coach anymore, right?
No.
Okay, good. Yeah.
But
yeah,
still, like, I didn't want him up there with me.
No, I understand.
Like, and that was the thing. He got into his bag no less than 9 separate times. Like, I started counting after 4.
Yeah.
After the fourth time he got up and interrupted the fucking line that was boarding people for him to put his jacket back in the fucking bag and then take the jacket back out. He did that 4 fucking times.
Yeah.
This guy has me fucking fired up.
Hey, that's
I'm fucking, you know, his name was Kevin.
Kevin is a future.
Fuck Kevin.
Yeah, Kevin, you're a future rape victim. I want you to know that, all right? There's a good shot. You're going to be out with your wife and kids at Founders Day or whatever the fuck's going on in your town, and you're going to get raped in front of your loved ones. All right, Kevin? I hate those fucking people.
Or stabbed. Like that clip a few months ago, that reporter or something that just got stabbed in front of his girlfriend and just let the stabbing, like there was no aggressive protectiveness in his body. He just put his hands up and got stabbed.
I don't think people expect to get stabbed when you should. If somebody's got a knife out, expect to get stabbed. I've never seen somebody pull a knife out and not use it.
Yeah, I mean,
ever.
Dude, just that whole situation was stupid because first off, he left her complete. Some dude gets a knife out and I'm with my girlfriend. She's going behind me and I'm charging at that motherfucker with my feet. Because I'm keeping as much distance as I can between his reach and I'm going to kick his fucking thighs as hard as I can. Like, as I'm trying to get, I'm going to tell her, like, fucking run. Mm-hmm. You can't get stabbed if you're in a sprint.
Yeah.
Like, so that whole situation pissed me off with that. Like, he didn't even step in to protect his wife,
oh,
wasn't
God.
It? Or fiance?
I don't know. I remember seeing the video. And here's the thing. If you're that weak, and you think you might get stabbed, your fiance might get stabbed, or whatever it is, pull down your pants and just start jacking off as hard as you can. At least that will freak out the knifey enough to be like, holy shit, dude, why are you doing that right
now? It's like a skunk tactic.
Right. Yeah. That way you won't get stabbed. Yeah. And then you're like, all right, cool. But he didn't do any of that.
No.
He just put his hands up.
It was literally,
and then got murked.
And literally completely disregarded her. Like it was just like she didn't exist. He was right. Just like, oh no, this guy has a knife.
And then how do you go home and fuck her after that? Jesse and I showed one of these videos on Ross Patterson Revolution, where the guy, what was that, a squirrel or a fox or something that was attacking the girl, and he comes out with a broom, like real gingerly, trying to hit this raccoon. The raccoon starts hitting this raccoon, and she's so pissed off, she chucked it like out behind the fence and everything. And I was like, man, I wonder what that convo was at night where she got chased by this goddamn thing.
And she had
he
to
didn't
save
really
herself.
Help out, and she had to save herself.
I mean, that's
how
it.
How do you go back to the bedroom that night?
No, and it then, never happens again.
No.
Like, that's it. Nope. You're done.
Yep.
Like, turn it off.
Yeah.
Because I think that's just at the core instinct of a woman.
Oh,
if
yeah.
If even in that situation, it was almost like a test. It was like, okay, the raccoon wasn't life-threatening, but you did nothing.
You did nothing
to save me. Like, dude, that's the fastest way to have a woman not give a shit about you.
And that was a raccoon. So imagine
you
if
want
it
to talk
was
about how much fun it would be. If somebody commits violence to my girlfriend or my daughter or something, you're about to see violence that you've never seen before, and I'm excited about it.
You're excited about it. We're all super excited about it. It's when we miss it and
like
we don't
now,
get the opportunity.
You're talking like I in a matter of half a second, I will have fashioned, like I will have stripped a paper cutter blade off and taped it to a broom, and now I have like a giant axe. Like, look, I'm making weapons.
Do you have a paper cutter?
I don't know. Maybe we're in an office
paper?
Or something. If we're in an office, but think about that. Having a paper cutter blade that you're swinging at somebody,
like a sickle,
you'll take a fucking shoulder off.
Oh, you could easily take
you could
one
go
off
through the collarbone with a paper cutter blade.
That goddamn thing is magic. I don't think I've ever seen it fashioned on a broomstick or something.
That's how Jon Stewart died in The Faculty.
Is it really?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. That's where I got that
way
from.
Yeah.
Pop it up. Let me see that fucking thing. Do you have a picture of it?
I'll get the video.
Jon Stewart was in The Faculty?
Yeah.
Wow.
Wow, dude.
I didn't know that.
I didn't either, man. Good for him, you know? That's right.
But
he was.
Dude,
actually,
making
he was
weapons,
an actor back then.
Like, fashioning weapon. I mean, that's something, you know, immediately comes to mind when there's danger. It's like, okay, what can I use to fuck somebody up really bad?
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, this is fucking great right here.
This is all right. There's a bunch of knives and shit. Hey, you know we've got a shotgun in that guitar case.
Yeah, there we go, you know.
And that's all loaded.
There's under here.
Yeah, there's two under there. I always keep one in my backpack. There's enough in here to, I mean, you know, start kind of a militia. A little bit of a militia.
I mean, like when one of the things for like women's self-defense is if you have something hard, just repeatedly hit them where the jawbone meets the skull, because that is a really weak spot. And when you break that and their jaw sinks, it pulls your ear canal and you don't want to fight.
You lose your balance.
You lose balance. Yeah. So yeah, women out there, just right there.
Have we got the scene here, Bob? Are we going to get dinged for this on YouTube? Not that it really matters. We haven't had a subscriber in fucking months. the algorithm we're on is, oh my God, dude. Is that heart? That's a young Hartnet.
Yeah, it's Hartnet with exactly what Jared was describing.
God damn,
hell
dude.
Yes.
All right. Are they going to show him chop the head off?
We don't want to get dinged, but he doesn't chop the head off.
Show me at least, because I haven't seen this since the theaters, dude. This was in the 90s, I think.
Yeah.
Sean Hattasey. Holy shit, dude. I remember all these
ooh,
dudes.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. All fingers.
All five fingers get chopped off with that goddamn thing.
I told you it's a good weapon.
Damn, dude. Look at that. Who was that Lord of the Rings kid too?
Oh yeah.
Elijah Wood? Ooh. What a cat. Look at those fingers and stuff. Can we show that freeze frame, you think? Oh, well, we'll get dinged. Okay. Because look at that. All the fingers are gone there. He's got a thumb. So at least he could still, you know, get one in the stink in case he had to. But man, that's going to be a long life after that, you know?
Yeah, if I ever lose or injure any fingers on my left hand, that's incredibly depressing, because then I couldn't play guitar anymore.
Do you play with your left hand?
That's what you
use. Oh, you play with both hands? That was a dumb question.
I mean, these are the ones you press the strings with, so like I, you know, that would suck.
That's when you start boozing at 10 a.m. You start asking things like that. Oh, do you use both hands for a guitar?
The guitar, is that a two-hand? I found a picture the other day, which I got to send to you, where I'm completely passed out on my couch in El Paso with an accordion. Like, I'm just sleeping with the accordion on my lap.
Speaking of accordions, you watched the Weird Al Yankovic movie?
Yeah.
How fucking good is that?
It was amazing.
It was awesome.
Like, wait, also, though, the way that they wrote it, it makes you go, wait a minute, was this real?
Like, so I'm kind of like, I think, and I told somebody this on air, I figured which show, but I was like, man, I think it was like maybe 8 to 15 minutes in, somewhere in there, I was like, wait a minute. When he starts just beating the Christ out of that guy, the door-to-door accordion yeah, salesman. Yeah. And I'm like, I don't think this is real. And then the rest of
yeah,
it.
Yeah, but like him dating Madonna. Oh, I'm dude, like, wait a minute. Did he date Madonna?
I had to look. And then it just goes off the rails. And then he ends up killing, I think, Pablo Escobar. I mean, he gets assassinated too. Like, it's great. That whole movie's great. But Radcliffe was from the faculty.
Yeah.
Was Weird Al.
Yeah.
With the accordion. And in the press they did, they never told anybody. They never told anybody it was a fake biopic.
Oh, that it wasn't going to be real.
All cast members, everything. Yeah, that's... They were just like, oh, it was an honor to play him and all this other shit. So if you go back and watch the interviews, that's why it took me a while to watch it. I was like, all right, I mean, do I really want to get into a biopic about Weird Al tonight? And then and my kid was just like, hey, let's watch it. I was like, all right, great. I had no idea it was totally fake.
Oh, my God. It was a good movie.
It got nominated for an Emmy 2 nights ago.
Wow.
So, yeah, he lost, which is bullshit. But it was really, really fucking good.
Were they worth it?
You know, I forget. It's one of those made-for-TV movie type sitches that they're doing a lot of these days.
Yeah.
And it's such a blurry line because it was made for Roku. But, like, that's technically a streaming app, too. Yeah. So what's the difference between that and Netflix? Won. Oh, it did win.
Yeah. Holy shit.
Weird, the Al Yankovic Story won Outstanding Television Movie. He beat Dolly Parton's Mountain Magic.
Holy no way. Shit. Holy
beat,
shit.
Actually, these two are more impressive that he beat. Hocus Pocus 2.
Whoa.
And Prey, the Predator movie.
Prey was really fucking good, too. Yeah.
Was it really?
Yeah. Yeah, it was.
If you haven't seen Prey.
Okay.
Poof.
Damn, dude, I thought he lost. Maybe he's just, I don't think he was there to accept the award, I think. That's what it was. But either way, it rocks. I'm happy to hear that. Shit.
Well, disappointing movie lately.
What do you got? Because you're the connoisseur. Dude.
I know, yeah. I watch him for, you know.
Same.
All the writing.
Napoleon. How's the writing? Napoleon.
Yeah. It was weird. I don't know. I don't think I was expecting.
So where did you see it? Theater or
no,
Apple?
No, just on Apple.
Okay.
Yeah.
What was weird about it? Because there wasn't a lot of good reactions. It's not getting nominated for anything. What was the overall feel of it from the trailer? Because we played it live on air and watched, and the trailer looked great.
I mean, yeah, from a cinematic perspective, like direct DP, like your photography was great in it. Like, it looked good. Costumes, mm-hmm. set, everything was good. It was just the whole. I don't know. I'm torn if. It's just such a weird, depressing story, and that's what I didn't like, because it's just fucking weird.
Yeah.
Or was the movie bad? I don't know.
Well, from the trailer, here's what I kind of gathered, which kind of steered me away from it, and then you'll be able to answer this for me. He had an American accent. Everybody else had a British accent, although they're all French. So do they explain any of that?
No, they don't.
Okay.
I mean, I think you're just assuming that you're watching a movie that's been translated to English because it would have all been in French, and we just can't, you know, do that here.
Well, the weird thing is we showed this last week on one of the shows. Did you see the AI version of the presidents of, where was he, Bob? Is that Venezuela?
Oh, Argentina?
Argentina, that's it.
Yeah.
Have you seen how fast the AI is to update him? So he's Argentinian,
yeah.
Speaks Spanish. He was given this huge speech, and on the fly, they AI'd it and then gave him an American, have him speak English, but with an Argentinian accent.
With his accent.
Wow.
With his own accent.
Play this video for Jared. Scary. Watch this. Because he did not do this speech in English, by the way.
So do they replace his likeness?
To first look at the data that supports why free market capitalism is not only a possible system to end world poverty,
that is
but also the only morally desirable system to achieve it.
Wow.
Not nuts. So, what we were talking about the other day was with all the AI that's coming out, this is actually one of the helpful ones where I actually want to hear what this guy has to say. he's genuinely trying to change this country for the better with radical ideas and everything else, which I don't mind. You got to give it a whirl at some point here. I actually like this, if that's what you're going to do.
Yeah.
But they didn't give a heads up that this was an AI, right, Bob? They didn't give you a warning beforehand.
I don't know. I just found it from this guy who posted it, like saying that this was English AI or whatever. But
okay. And the cool thing was, by the way, for the audience, they didn't fuck with this. So it's not like they made him say, hey, you know, I'm going to go take an upper decker at your grandmother's house or something like that. Like, because I've seen those videos as well. So this was just a straight AI. We'll throw in the accents and then boom, get it out to the people immediately so you can actually hear what he's saying over here.
Yeah.
And I enjoy that shit.
No, that's great. But also, too, you know the dangers of it.
Oh,
it's
of
like,
course.
It's like, okay, you guys can do that fast. Like, who's to not change that script?
That's what I say.
And then you get the landslide of the internet and just all of a sudden.
Eventually, it's like, going to happen.
Oh, with 100%.
Like Putin or Trump.
Like it's,
and they'll drop the N-word and be like.
I mean, not even that. Like, I mean, I'm just saying, like, you can change very little things that completely could sway public opinion about something.
Mm-hmm.
So it's like, dude, this is getting a little slippery. And
it
we
is.
Don't have laws for it.
Look, I've always gone to you over the years about everything social media, video-wise, and all that stuff coming out, because you've always been ahead of the curve. What is coming out AI-wise that you've either seen or that you're working on that you're at least excited about that it's helpful?
Well, I mean, you take any genre or vertical of anything, and there's AI being applied to it. I mean, like right now, the music world is interesting because they're utilizing it for mixing. And so like you essentially, you know, I would say like Photoshop
the Beatles track.
Photoshop beta right now. I can, you know, what used to take me back when I first met you 11 years ago to cut Jesse out for the poster of Helen Keller versus Nightwolves would take me an hour to do a good cut job.
Mm-hmm.
Is now a single button, remove background or select subject, happens instantly. And then I can type in a prompt in new Photoshop beta, make background tropical.
And it looks great.
Make her,
it all looks great.
Yeah, make her lit like she's in the, like this is all shit that like took years upon years to learn compositing in Photoshop that is now just a prompt.
Yeah.
And that being applied to music too, where you're like, hey, I want this to sound, I want this, mix this song like Good Charlotte.
Mm-hmm.
Make it sound like Good Charlotte.
And it'll do it for you.
And it's like, dude, this is the direction it's going.
No fucking way,
dude. It's
fucking
wild, dude.
So I know, like, let's say the New York Times, for example, suing Microsoft for sucking up all their articles and everything else and then using that for AI and all that other stuff. Could Good Charlotte do the same thing? If they wanted to and be like, hey, man, I heard that sound.
Well,
I want to sue that programmer, whoever was able to suck that up.
Here's where that comes into. When you sue somebody like this, you have to base it on law. Where's the law?
We don't have one yet.
Exactly. So, like, the New York Times could sue Microsoft for scanning, you know, every document. But Microsoft is going to go, there's no law that says that we cannot, if you load it onto the internet, that we cannot archive it. And use it for a database. Like, sorry, dude.
So that's like, interesting. So do you think there'll be... Because the Supreme Court is going to have to step in. And I know a couple of these cases are going to the Supreme Court.
No, I mean, it's
going to
go...
But do they set a date and say, all right, January 1st, 2024, you can't suck up any of the shit that's going to be used for future use? How is that going to shake out?
Well, I think, like, they're all focused on likeness right now, right? Because, like, didn't Tom Cruise sell his life?
He did. He was the first one.
Eternity likeness?
Yes. Like, he was the first one. Like,
how much did he get for it?
8 years ago. No one knows. And I've dug.
Has to be a B.
I've pried on my fucking agents. That's what I said. I pried on my agents and everything. And I go, somebody knows that number. And I go, he did it 8 years ago. He was the first one to do it. I go, someone fucking knows. And not only that, but he knew. He knew where this was all headed. And I think, me personally, this is a total guess. I think Tom Cruise was amped about it because Tom Cruise still looks like Tom Cruise.
Yeah.
But as he gets into his, he's in his 60s right now. They're about to shoot another Top Gun. Did you see they signed up for
third,
that?
Yeah.
With Miles. Tyler's going to be in it.
That's
and
great.
Hangman and him. I think he wants that technology to be applied so he still looks like fucking cool Tom Cruise for another 10 years.
And then now, like, he can go... I mean, it would probably take maybe 2-3 weeks for him to go into a recording booth and film him saying the alphabet, doing every vowel sound, doing every, like, recording, like, truly archiving his voice to the point that a computer can make him say whatever they want. I'm sure they have this now. Like, they have, I guarantee you, they have a script that's like, you need to read all of this, and then we can make you say any word ever.
Yeah. Yeah, they do. They've got that. I just tested it out for an audiobook a few months ago, and it was Snoop Dogg, Gwyneth Paltrow. I forget what the other celebrity was, but now you can just get the celebrities, and then you're just licensing it, like AudioSocket and shit like that. It's pretty
Yeah, what does that do for, like, let's take the music world in, for an example, and be like, okay, if Snoop Dogg is like, hey, I've AI archived my voice. If you pay me, you know, $5,000, you can use that archive for me to feature on a song for you. And that opens the gate to everybody that makes music. But even then, that opens, it's, you're almost talking about, what is that, Bob, what's that fucking app that celebrities use to, like, make shout out videos and shit?
Cameo.
Yeah, Cameo. Yeah. So you're almost like talking like Cameo, where a celebrity can just, or a musician can just be like, yeah, $5,000 to pop. Put me in whatever fucking song you want.
Yeah.
And they're just like, oh, I just keep getting all this money.
No.
Like, and I do nothing.
If you don't care about what the art is, because let's face it, if you're a shitty SoundCloud rapper out there who's, you know, like the Island Boys, for example, let's use them.
And they're just throwing down $5,000 after $5,000. Five, look, I got Drake. We got fucking Snoop Dogg. Yeah. I mean, because that's the thing. At the end of the day, this will last maybe the first, like, month, where it's like, where the first month that it would go into effect, a no-name musician might see an uptick of like, oh man, you featured Drake, that's crazy. After it comes out though that, like, this is what you're doing, nobody would care anymore. It's like, oh yeah, we're ignoring that.
But,
like,
on the flip side of it, one of these, let's say you did 200, one will be a hit.
Yeah.
And that's going to change the game entirely, too, where it's just like, oh, hey, man, I heard your song with Drake. It was dope as fuck.
Well, because, like, a mechanical, you know, we just did a cover of Danger Zone by Kenny Loggins. And you have
For your band?
Yeah.
Okay.
It's an awesome cover. We like, take it to, like, a metalcore style, like, where they're screaming, and, like, it, like, we really changed it up. It's really great. Our producer, Nick Scott, fucking phenomenally made this into a metal song. It was awesome. But
you can't sell it though, right?
Well, here's what you do. Yes, you can.
Okay.
I have to purchase what's called a mechanical license. Mm-hmm. It's about $88. Like, that's what it's set that, hey, if you're going to cover my song, give me $88.
And Loggins set that?
The label does, that owns the rights to the publishing rights.
$88.
Well, because what do they care? Like
I agree.
You know,
I agree.
At the end of the day, like outside of, like, Bad Wolf Zombie, a cover doesn't go mega viral and make money. I mean, that's really the last time, but that was approved by the Cranberries. The Cranberries were involved.
Oh, I didn't know that, actually.
Yeah. She was killed on her way to the studio to record with him.
No way.
In a car accident.
I didn't know that story.
Oh, it's so sad.
Jesus Christ.
But that's about, like, the only time in the last 15 years where a cover, like, really, like, exploded worldwide, like, for somebody. So, I mean, that's why I think, like, BMI and things like that are like, yeah, we don't give a shit. It's 80, give us $80. And,
well, if you're looking at the success of, like, let's say Luke Combs with Fast Car for Tracy Chapman, she didn't give a shit. She was like, yo, dude, do you want to record a song 25 years later? And I get all the publishing rights.
At that time, like, Luke Combs, like, they're making this deal face to face. Like, whereas with this, they know anybody that's going to go out to just buy a mechanical, like, Luke Combs isn't going to buy a mechanical license to cover a song. Right. He's going to have his agent, like, pick up the phone to that musician and be like, hey, we want to do this. Would you like to be involved? Would you be interested to sit down and talk about it? How do we come up with a deal? Like, and you go from there. But yeah, I think that's why these mechanical licenses exist, because it's like, oh, hey, bands like ours who are just low level bands, like, yeah, we want to cover the song, we'll pay you for it so we can load it on all the streaming devices, and boom, here we go.
And so $88 is the final fee.
That was, it was for Danger Zone. It changes. It's depending on whatever the publishing company sets it at.
Gotcha. Do you have a, do you have it on here? Is it on YouTube yet?
Yeah. Yeah.
Oh shit. Play it. Fuck it. You own it, right?
Yes. Okay. 100% Danger Zone this Saturday.
Play this.
I want you to hear it.
So do I, dude.
It's my best. It's some of my best singing work.
I saw you posting
work.
About yeah. it, but I didn't know if you guys had recorded it yet.
Oh yeah.
Baby. Which one is it?
The top one.
Okay. Play the top one there. Did you guys shoot a video? Is it
no,
just
not yet.
Audio. Okay. Just a lyric video.
Yeah,
don't I think, show I mean, Jimmy is, Fallon. We don't do that on this show.
This is just
Bob. No free ads for Jimmy Fallon.
No Jimmy Fallon. We're anti.
We have higher
Jimmy
ratings
Fallon.
Than Jimmy Fallon anyway. So who cares?
Nobody watches TV
Nobody
anymore.
Nobody do. Nobody what? Watches late night.
Oh, like, no!
It's just, surprising.
It's the same stupid people saying the same stupid things. Here we go. This is our fastest stream song on Spotify to date.
No
We're
shit.
We're at almost 50,000 streams, and it's only been up for a few days.
I saw you guys cross to 500,000 already.
So here we're still normal song.
Right.
And then as soon as we get into this next verse, we start going more metal and we keep going more metal.
If you're out there, download it. Where's it on? Spotify?
Yes. And Apple Music.
Spotify and Apple. God, throw a little Scott Stapp in here, too,
We got the synth right here.
Of course you did this, dude.
That's Nick. That's Nick on the guitar. Nick Cody right there just shredding the fucking Kenny Loggins solo.
This had to have been a blast record.
Oh my god, are you kidding? We were having and so here's where it gets even better is the end key change of the chorus goes too high for me. I can't hit that. So we got JT from Famous Last Words to sing this
really
outro chorus. Yeah, listen to this, it's okay. Phenomenal. Oh, dude, we went to a 8-string metal guitar, dropped it down 2 more keys. So that's it. That's our newest one.
That rocks, dude. So you guys are 50,000 streams right now on Spotify?
On Spotify. Right. Spotify's the hardest one to get.
I know.
To get, so it's like that's a big deal.
Let's jack this up to 100,000, guys.
Oh, we
let's
would love
go
that.
To Spotify and listen to Danger Zone. But your band name is This Saturday.
Yeah,
it's not Jared Taylor. So
no.
It's This Saturday.
This Saturday.
Danger Zone. Crank that. Jack off to it. Send in your jack off videos to JT.
Don't send them
to his Instagram, and then he'll rate it. And if you could score yourself jacking off to those
God
videos,
damn it. You know they're
going
to do this.
I know, but it's going to drive you over 100,000. All you've got to do is look at 50,000 dicks, and like you're good.
God.
And I think you're going to be fine. Like it's going to be a huge hit. And you got
the last time you did this, it lasted for like 3 months.
Do you remember how much time? Do you remember how gross that was?
Yes.
If you're new to this show, by the way, we got people to jack off on.
It was on a photo, wasn't it?
Yes, yeah, it was on your photo.
Yeah.
It was a photo
and
of your face.
People were sending in iPads just covered.
We got, I think, close to 400,000, or no, not 400,000, 400 submissions of people who had jacked off all over a photo of your face.
God damn
and
it.
Then sent that in to you.
This is awful.
We posted one, and then Instagram obviously yanked it, but then they just kept going to you. And we were just laughing over and over again. There was one guy, and I asked him if I give him a shout out because it looked like multiple loads.
Yeah,
I was like, "Is that one shot for you, or just multiple loads?" Because if that's just one,
you need to see.
Oh God, your wife needs a windshield wiper. I mean, just for her face,
wife
where
needs
it's
a
just
windshield wiper.
She needs a welding mask where she can just wipe that out of there. And he chuckled, but he didn't say anything. And he also said we couldn't read his name on air. So I was like, fuck you, dude. Yeah. But that was a fun little game.
No, it's not a fun game. It's not a fun game.
It was a blast.
Send him to St. James Street James, please.
Nope. Definitely.
Just go to over St. James Street James Instagram.
I don't check him.
He does.
No, Jared checks him.
DMs.
Jared checks him. Danny checks mine. Dan, she wouldn't be.
Send him to Dan. Let's just have him sent to Dan.
Actually,
that's better. Dan Holloway.
Yes.
Would like to see your videos.
You jacking off to
Danger Zone.
Danger Zone by this Saturday on Spotify only. So let's hold up the app so that way we can see the app. Obviously,
see Spotify and then get those over to Dan as quick as possible.
Yes.
And then we'll have Dan review them in this seat in a couple weeks.
Yeah, and he's doing a suicide prevention show live on our channel here on Wednesday. So hopefully that, kind of encourages
him. Yeah, I think it'll bring his spirits up, right, Bob?
I think so.
Give the man at SHOT Show a SHOT Show.
Yeah.
Jared, you're in with us on Hard AF Seltzer. That's our sponsor today, hardafseltzer.com. Live in Florida, Georgia, Alabama, Tennessee, North Carolina, Texas, and Ohio. Go to hardafseltzer.com today. Click on that store locator, enter your city or zip, and it'll take you to the closest location nearest you. Just open up in Wilmington, North Carolina. We're in all the brunches out there in Wilmington, North Carolina. And that Total Wine over there, stocked up. Whiskey Creek has got us all stocked up over there. Huge fan. Get those buffalo chicken tendies, dog. Best in the biz over there at Whiskey Creek. We're in every single Total Wine in the Southeast as well as Texas, including about 10 to 12 HEBs right now. Looking at you, Nutty Brown. Was in there last night, saw a little end display, got 20 cases loaded up there in front of Bud Light. You don't need that dog shit anymore. And all the Piggly Wigglies out there in Alabama, over 300 locations in Georgia and Ohio. We're all over Ohio State's campus out there. 14-0 Liquors on campus. Urban Myers Pint House out there in Dublin, Ohio. Short North Pint House in downtowns. We're going to be watching the games over the weekends. And, of course, it wouldn't be Ohio if we weren't on North Campus Liquors. Let's go. Go to North Campus up there. That's where you go to get weird, brother. If you want to see Hard AF Seltzer in a bar, in a restaurant, in a package store nearest you, you can hit up these distributors. In Ohio, it's Heidelberg. In Wilmington, it's, who do we got? Wyndham out there, down there. We got Sunshine State in Florida, Crown in Georgia and Alabama, Best Brands in Tennessee. And then in Texas, we got Favorite Brands. Just hit them up. Say, look, man, we want it in our stores. We want it in our grocery stores. We want it in our restaurants, in our bars, and they'll stock you up. Head on over to hardafseltzer.com today. Support us and support the show by buying a 12-pack. If you're not one of those states or one of the surrounding states, we still ship right to your house, 36 states at hardafseltzer.com. Yeah, talking about Eufy.com. The Eufy video lock is unbelievable. You can get it on Amazon. You can get it at Best Buy stores starting on May 20th. What is it? It's a smart lock, 2K cam, and doorbell, 3-in-1, triple security, so you can have everything you need in one device rather than install many pieces on your front door. It's not just for security, but also for convenience. No more concerns about losing keys like my wife. You can assign passwords to your family members and see them coming back home via the integrated camera. It's easy to install and set up with just a Phillips head screwdriver, no drilling required. It's got a keyless entry. No more fumbling for the keys when hands are full. Never worry about kids losing keys or passing among the renters of your house. You got a rental property out there, this is a must-have. I love this product. Just got it a couple weeks ago. Huge fan. Have the Ring camera. It's okay. It's not as great as this, so I swapped it out. Go to Eufy Video Lock today on YouTube. That's EUFY Video Lock or visit EUFYOfficial.com/video lock to see how you can gain complete control of your front door. Exactly.
Yeah.
Let him have what he really wants in this life and let him enjoy himself. But as all this is going on right now, you're not out there. You're not out on SHOT Show. You were the SHOT Show guy for years.
I mean, SHOT Show doesn't start till next week, though.
I know, dude, but like...
I'll be there Sunday.
Oh, you are going?
Yeah, we're having, right. I'm having dinner with Dan Sunday night.
Oh, you fucker. You didn't tell me that.
Oh, I didn't. I thought you knew.
No.
That's why I said, are you going to be out there?
No,
yeah, he's going way early.
Well, we were doing this thing where... I guess I can say it now because it's past. This show doesn't air until Sunday. It was something with the Independence Fund where they give out one of those wheelchairs that's all tracked out.
Yeah, yeah.
Where
sick.
It's super expensive and so everything cool. else. And we've been doing Jesse Waters' primetime show every month on Fox. Jesse was going to be there. They were going to give this wheelchair away. Here's the weird part. It was at the Vegas Golden Knights game. It's a beautiful thing what they've done. And I look, it's an amazing, awesome thing. Did you bring the wheelchair down to the ice, though? And then, you know... Because that's what they were presenting it to him, and it was like, was the hockey game the best choice for that?
Best venue.
An NBA game would have been hardwood.
And Dan standing there wearing the These Color Don't Run shirt.
And then the wheelchair slipping all over the
slipping
ice. It goes into a goal. Zamboni picks
just
it
runs
up, dude.
Into it.
Yeah, it turns into murder
fire.
Ball out there. I'm like, dude, was the hockey game the best choice, guys? Like, we could have just gone to an NBA game. So he left early for that. You're here. And then next week is, are you there? Rudy Reyes is going. Everybody's going,
yeah.
Obviously.
Yeah, we'll be there all week.
And so with Rudy, now I'm going to meet up with Rudy for a different thing. Him and I are doing a 9/11 gig together.
Nice.
A memorial.
I don't know. Oh, a memorial. I don't know what a 9/11 gig is.
Yeah, like, do you want to go with
us? I wasn't sure if you were going to hijack a plane. Like,
oh, no. Well,
I thought you were recruiting me for a terroristic act right there.
Potentially.
You just said, hey, me and Rudy are doing a 9/11 thing.
Because we are flying from Austin to Dallas, so we will be on a plane.
When is this?
9/11. So you want to go?
Oh, it's in September.
Yeah, it's on 9/11, dude.
Okay, like,
that's
where,
what
9/11 and it's in
means.
Dallas. Yeah, what
it's
is it?
Dallas.
Sure, yes. I've committed.
Okay, great.
I'm in.
It's Creed.
Yes.
Creed is playing on 9/11
in Dallas. Put it on the calendar.
All right, perfect. Creed is playing in 9/11 in Dallas. Now, obviously, we got drinkerbrostickets.com, and I the back end, they email it to me when people do it, and there is people already buying tickets for this Creed show on 9/11 in Dallas. They're on sale. The prices, though, are fucking gnarly right now.
Dude, the prices for everything are gnarly.
I know.
You seen Taylor Swift prices?
Bro. Did you take your daughter?
No.
Yeah.
They don't like Taylor Swift.
Oh, really?
Yeah. They like Asking Alexandria.
You never know. Look, Danny likes fucking Taylor Swift. I like Taylor Swift. I get down on both.
Yeah.
Like, I'm fine with it.
Yeah.
But the tickets for everything are astronomical, but I was surprised for Creed. So front row, because I'm looking at the tickets right now. What's your reckon there for the front row?
Front row? 1,100.
1,500.
100?
Yes. For Creed. On 9/11. I mean, we're fucking 10 months from that.
Yeah. I mean, that's still reasonable, I would say.
Come on, dude. I have to do it for the bit.
Yeah.
Because it's like, I want to wear like a shirt with the original Twin Towers on it and then selfie me with Scott singing the whole, you know, higher and all that shit.
Why don't you just get like a basketball jersey made where the number is 9/11, but the name is
Step?
Yeah, Step. That's gonna get his attention.
Stat Dallas 9/11, dude. It's just 9 on the front, 11 on the back.
No,
and I just keep turning around.
9-11. Like it's on your back. Like, yeah, you're just like, dude, check it out.
I think if I had to turn, just so there's that moment in his eyes where he's like, what the fuck is he doing?
What the fuck?
It's a jersey that says 9. It's a Dallas Mavericks jersey, and then I turn around, it says Stat, and then 11, and I wink at him, and he's like, Oh, fuck. All right. Can you take me higher? And then it's,
yeah.
So I'm all in, but that's where we're going. Rudy Reyes is already in. He's been burning me down for
all right,
it.
Put me in for two.
All right. Perfect. Creed, 9/11. Hey, never forget.
Hey, dude. Baby.
Never fucking forget.
Never forget.
Ever. That'll probably be my best 9/11 day. Like, besides the, you know, not that that was a
not,
good
not,
one.
Not that that was a good one.
Memory yeah, goes, but a memory, like a core memory where I'm like, hey, I'm in it.
Oh, dude.
Because I did go to Hooters once in LA on 9/11, and then we put the wings up, the bones, for the waitress. I get a picture of it too.
Oh, my God.
And the waitress is like, what? Are you guys done? Why are the wings like this? I was like, it's for the towers. And I go, if you'll just give, it was me and my buddy, and I go, if you just give us a moment, it'd be great. She's like, the fuck is going on here? It was just two drumsticks.
Oh my God.
Two empty, half-eaten drumsticks.
That is so good.
We watched Shaved Eagle Tour the other day, and like that made me miss how fun that was.
That was a crazy one.
We need to go back and do that shit again.
It was a fucking blast.
Dude, live shows, I think that's our future.
It was great. They're doing well. So we chatted about this. We get offers all the time for the live shows. The problem is everybody's trying to pair up everybody's schedule, obviously. And
yeah, but we
doing
just need
it.
To do one a quarter. Like, it's not like we're not going to go on tour.
I agree.
But let's do one a quarter. Like, and that gives everybody that's been listening to this thing for fucking almost 10 years.
I know.
We're coming up.
Yeah.
This will like Thanksgiving.
This will be year nine. And then we met the year before. Yeah. So, yeah, man. Shit, somebody asked me about it the other day and I found an old picture. I'll text it to Bob so we can put it on screen here. But this was kind of where it all began and then kind of ended before the movie. Bob, I'm gonna text this here to you right quick. God damn it, dude. I've got so many fucking nudes of myself on here.
Really?
No.
I was going to say, I don't have a single one on my phone.
A single nude? That's not true. You've got a catalog somewhere, right? One would imagine you've got a catalog of it.
So we are right, definitely perfect. Going to Creed.
Yes, 9/11.
No, we have to go now.
Yeah. All right, Bob, I'm going to text you this picture. So this was 2015, right before we started the podcast, I believe. But I'm going to pop it up on screen because you'll know this. Your memory is fucking insane. Yes, July 30th, 2015 is when this says.
Oh,
here.
God.
And we were in Raleigh, North Carolina.
Oh, is this your living room? Black
no,
and white
No, no. This okay. was, we were at a hotel in Raleigh.
God damn.
Yeah.
We've had a lot.
No shit. Bob, did you get it?
Yeah. We've had a lot of things.
Well, I was telling my buddy Danny last night, I was like, dude, if you go back to the original of this. Okay, so there we go. Do you remember that?
I wasn't there for that one.
You weren't there for the rewrites of this?
No, that was that. Yeah, I had to be.
So there's Matt.
I had to be somewhere. Yeah, you guys all got together to like knock that out. I had to be somewhere else for something. That's Jack with his face. You know, because you FaceTimed me like three times that night to ask me questions. That is when I demanded. That FaceTime is when I started yelling, what if we ripped Evan's dick off from a midget?
Got it.
Yes.
So that's what people were asking. They said, hey, when did that happen? And I was like, I think it was here. But we were in this, I don't know, hotel room somewhere in the middle of Raleigh, Durham, or whatever the fuck it is.
That was the first, like, the first major rewrite.
That was when we finished it. So that was it. And we had the cheers up, and then we finished it. But I was telling my buddy's in from North Carolina. I was telling him last night, I go, if you go back to when we started all this shit in 2014, 15-ish, Drinking Bros Podcast came out of there. Black Rifle Coffee came out of there. Hard AF Seltzer came out of there. Range 15 came out of there. Shaved Eagle Tour came out of there. A number one best-selling book came out of there.
Two.
Oh, that's right. Nick wrote Tim Kennedy's book. Rocco.
Network television.
I told him the story of Rocco getting on the Mayans. Remember when he flew out to L.A.? He was just like, hey, can we go live on air and ask if we can get an audition for the Mayans? And I was like, yeah, man. And then Steve Howie was able to hook that up.
Steve Howie was like, I know Kurt.
Crazy. Crazy, man. But all out of that, if you would have told us in a conference room at the fucking Marriott in 2014 or 15, whenever this was.
That we would have a studio in Dripping Springs.
All this other shit would come out of it. Yeah. Wild, man. It's pretty fucking wild. Who's in the middle there? Is that Tom Amenta?
Yep, that's Tom. And then Jack's putting his face on the wall.
Look at Jack,
yeah,
dude.
Look at Jack.
Weird thing is, because these guys know him from Softcore History over there, Jack's still the fucking same piece of shit.
Look dude, he came in last Friday, came into the, like, went to bed, and then got up and heard that we were still in the bar and just came in and ripped
Billy Joel, We Didn't Start the Fire karaoke, took his shirt off, like full
pitch
production.
Perfect.
Like,
yeah, he could yeah, do it. He could yeah, do word for yeah, word.
Word
yeah.
for word.
That's a hard
and then
fucking
just,
song.
Then just hung it up, turned the mic off, went back to bed. Just gave a salute. like, welcome to living with Jack. So here's what I want to do.
Yeah, I was going to say, who's living there now?
Jack.
Jack. Yeah. But Bam Margera was living there
yeah,
for...
Bam was there for...
Is he still there?
7 weeks. No, he's...
He moved on?
Well, yeah. They were getting an RV, like, because they're just going to go on the road because he's, like, wanted in all these Comic-Cons and MonsterCons
oh,
and stuff
yeah,
like
yeah,
that.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
Dude, that's where he makes all his money, yes, is yeah. going to these cons and just signing stuff and taking pictures and stuff like that.
Totally.
But, I mean, God, he's doing so good.
Is he?
So good. Just from the day that he showed up to me to... Now,
mm-hmm.
like you have a half a human back, like in cognitive, in speech, in everything. Like he's just so like, I mean, dude, he's off everything. And the biggest thing was the prescription drugs. Like,
what was he
dude,
taking?
Dude, I mean, he fucking lithium, like, oh, like he calls it the Britney Spears cocktail. And that's why he got a tattoo right here on his neck that says, "Don't worry, Britney, they did it to me too." Like, he has been fucking cocked up on, you know,
yeah.
mind meds for like 7 years. And that dude, that fucks you up.
I know. Because you guys had him on Time for Pie.
Yeah, it was fun.
Yeah.
I mean, that was still early on, though. He's still, you know, he's still kind of, you know, about 100, 120 days sober. He's still pretty bitter about, you know, everything. So it would keep
Jackass
him,
or just life in general?
Just everything. Yeah. Okay. You know, I mean, it's the fight over the custody of his kid is what kills him the most. Like, all he wants to do is be around his son, and you know, that shit gets messy and, yeah. and everything. And so, so keeping him on track with that was just like trying to keep him positive of like, hey, Time for Pie is the fun show. Like,
be
fun. And the last half of it, we got him really like having fun, spouting out ideas and like really having a good time. But dude, like just over the course of those weeks, like I watched all of that animosity disappear and his love for skating completely come back and be his obsession. And he just texted me 10 minutes ago, a photo of him, you know, doing a freaking crooked grind which looks like a Ollie North on a bank.
Yeah.
Yeah. And like, dude, he's posting a skate clip a day of just back to being a pro bangers, which is awesome. Like, and he's good. He's so good.
He's so good at skating. People forget how good he really was. But the interesting part for me was, so he was at your house. He does Time for Pie. Obviously we all did the Steve-O show together when he was here. I don't know if there was a conversation after that, but Steve-O ended up posting a video just saying, "Hey Bam, I'm proud of you, and you know, I'm happy to hear that everything's well and you're getting sober and all that other stuff," on his Instagram. So I didn't know if he was at your house.
No,
and did they communicate?
I told Steve-O after the show. I was like, "Hey, Bam's at my place right now, and I'll confirm with you that he is sober and he's doing really good."
Okay.
And he was like, "That's good to hear. That's good to hear."
All right, and that's where that video came.
I have
out
no
of
idea. I have no idea. I mean, I'm sure they talked to. Like,
okay, cool. Yeah. Cool, because some people in the audience were asking after that show aired, they were like, "Oh shit, did he see the show or hear the show or something?" And then Steve-O posted it, and I was like, "I'm not really sure." Steve-O ended up hanging out here for a while, and recording another show afterwards.
It was a lot of fun, man. You know, he spent Christmas with us. Like,
did he really?
Every time he left the house, he would come back with a gift for the girls, like each of them. Like, he'd have something that like, "Lux, I got this for you because of this. And Charlotte, I got this for you because of this." Like,
yeah.
Like, and then, yeah, Christmas, like, he just had a blast watching them open presents. And then they got their Nerf guns out and attacked all of us and were chasing everybody. And, like, dude, it was just...
How wild is that, dude? Like, your fucking childhood like, heroes at your
I'm
house, living at your
Christmas
house for 2 months.
With him.
Christmas with Bam Margera.
Yeah, it was really, really fun. It was really cool. And man, the guy is so talented. He's so creative.
Yeah.
So, I mean, all day long, he paints, he draws, he sketches. He's dude, my house is full of fucking like sketchbooks that just have pages of notes and ideas and t-shirt sketches, and they're all over the place. Like,
no shit.
He even wrote on all of my coffee filters. like
really?
Like, he ran out of paper or something, so he like started just writing on the coffee filters. And he painted me like four of these crazy paintings that I need to get framed, like, because they're fucking badass.
That's
awesome. We made a song together.
Really?
I can send it to Bob right
now. Does he sing?
Bro.
Is he any good?
Let me tell you this right now. He made this in, I would say, less than 4 minutes.
Okay.
He fucking scribbled on his notebook for like 4 or 5 straight minutes. Uncle Laser was over. We're like picking.
How do you stay sober around Uncle Laser?
We're picking.
I've never been able to do it.
I don't know. Bob, do you have your AirDrop on for everybody?
I think it's Ross's iMac.
Ross's iMac, yeah.
All I got is Dan's Mac, but Ross's iMac. There you go. Boom. So this is a song we made. We called it Moonshine Come Alive. But like, I'm telling you, he did 3 takes in the booth, and this is the product.
Okay.
And Laser went in and did a harmonica take.
He fucking rocks in harmonica. Uncle Laser's amazing in harmonica.
This is again, you're hearing right now what's completely unreleased. You know, it lives nowhere.
Where is this going to go eventually? Or is it just to do it?
Bam and I filmed a quick reel for it, but mm-hmm. then the card was full halfway through, so it didn't record. So
your SD card?
Yeah, next time he comes, we'll do it.
All right. Pop it up, Bob. Do you got it?
Da, moonshine come alive, full time day. Well, I got 9.
Is this him singing?
Yes. Still ticking. Like, and I'm talking like 3 takes.
One, my motherfucking lie. Oh, moonshine come alive, full time day. Well, I got 9 lives. One face still ticking. One for surprise, cause hell is one, my motherfucking lie.
No shit, dude.
Dude, this sounds like Kid Rock.
Pretty fucking dope. I guess his brother wasn't, but
yeah, Jeff Margaro. Yeah,
he's probably been around, you know, metal,
music his entire life, dude. Life. Like he's been around him. Like, it's good.
Yeah. What are you gonna do with it?
I have no idea.
You're good.
Yeah,
by.
Yeah.
What are you gonna do with it?
I mean, well, I want to make that music video with him next time I see him.
Okay.
Because like, I mean, it looked really fucking good, and then we didn't get the file. Like, because we had purple lights, we were in my Razor.
Oh shit!
And we were
dude.
Both wrapping this whole thing in my Razor with purple lights all up on us, and it looked fucking so sick. And then we didn't get the file, and it started pouring rain right after, so there was no take 2. So fuck it.
I know you got the comedy club at your house and all that other stuff. I saw you had a full setup there the other day, so I actually went and saw you do stand up.
Yeah,
you opened up for Uncle Laser over there.
Yeah,
how is it? Do you enjoy it?
100% I enjoy it because it's hard and
very hard.
It's fucking hard.
Yeah,
and. That set that you saw out at Sunset, like I learned so much from that where I was like, oh, military stuff don't work on
civilians,
on Austin people. I was like, shit. And I had to audible real quick because I cut that JTAC thing in half on the spot because I didn't have the crowd yet, so I flipped it up and went into all my Facebook trolling and stuff like that. And that's
the HOA story. Yeah,
yeah, yeah. That got him.
But it was sold out that night.
Yeah,
I mean, we ended up bringing. Did I say we brought Gary Faust on the show after that?
Oh no, you did,
dude. We put him. I think he was on a regular, and he did the Christmas show as well.
Yeah, Gary's two shows. A fucking
mad
riot.
Madman, dude. Man. I love him. Biggest piece of shit in the world. I love him. So do I. Gary's got a standing invite anytime.
Dude,
because it's just like,
I love Gary. Like that's who I want to bring him on a vacation, just for my own entertainment. If we need to do a group vacation, let's hire 2 cameramen and go to Cabo or some bullshit. Like me, you, Jesse, Dan, like the whole group,
yeah.
And then bring Gary,
oh,
and like we'll give him an allowance. Like you have $200 a day.
That would be the most money he's had in years. In fucking years.
Let's do it.
And he's one of those guys where it's just, I watch his, because I watch his podcast. It's him and Uncle Laser. It's called Drunk Uncle's Podcast. Yeah. And I watch it, and they have these porn stars on and strippers. Yeah. And like, I know they're both fucking them at the end of the day. And I'm like, that's why I like watching the show. Yeah. It's because I'll guess which one. I was like, man, I wonder if Laser or Gary's going to fuck him afterwards or both. You know, where it's like, Gary's like, oh man, I'll go second. You know? I'll let you go in the good hole. I'll take the other one, you know? Like, I'm fine with it. It's totally up to you.
Well, this was an old school drinking bros here today.
It's fucking great, dude. Wow. Like I said, I started boozing at 10 this morning. It was all because of me. Who's in the studio today, listener? Why you can't come up, right? That's right. He was here yesterday, and he goes, the amount of people who can't come up for Drinking Bro of the Week, they're like, this is disgusting. Well, I'm going to get fired from my job. Yeah. Who else is back there? Anybody else back there next to your girlfriend? Is he allowed to come up?
I can't see.
Yeah. Who's the bald guy back there? Huh? Can he come up? Is he allowed?
No. Everybody needs to stay keep their employment.
Shut the fuck up. There's like 10 people here. Yeah, None of them can come up because of their work, their place of work.
Yeah,
There it is. We got one. We got one. Come on up, dude.
They're normal people.
It's not. We're just real Topeka people, man. It's not that. But come on up. I'm not going to say anything horrific about you. Now, the show is disgusting. Pop on in there. Jared, I love you, buddy. I love you. Put the mic about an inch from your face there. There we go. Boom.
How's it going?
Good, man. You got a fucking dip in, bro?
Yes, sir.
Look at you. You son of a bitch. Look at you. Tell everybody your name.
Nathan Francis.
Nathan Francis. Put it about an inch from your face. There you go.
Nathan Francis.
There it is, Nathan Francis. Yeah, dig in. Dig in. who'd you like to give Drinking Bro of the Week to?
I'd like to give that to my father.
Okay.
Michael Francis. So...
Michael Francis. Yes, what did Michael do?
He was basically a security guard.
No shit.
Yes, sir. Worked at the hospital. And
still alive?
Yes, sir.
Okay, cool. Is he still a security guard?
Not at the hospital anymore. Now he's working with a food plant.
Gotcha. And where are you based out of?
We came down from South Carolina. I'm originally from Phoenix.
No shit. Did you come specifically for the show?
We came down for our anniversary, actually.
Did you really? Is your wife here?
Yes, sir.
Oh, God, I'm so sorry. Is she back there?
Yes, sir.
She had to hear this whole fucking thing?
Yep.
Oh, my God.
She knew what she was getting into.
Take her to a nice dinner tonight. I'm sorry. What's her name?
Kenzie.
Kenzie, I'm sorry. Have him take you to a nice dinner tonight, like you choose on Yelp. Like, you go to Yelp, you choose, and say, hey, you brought me to this fucking shit show today. I get to go to Lonesome Dove tonight. It'll ring you up. It'll ring him up a little bit tonight. Go make him take you to Lonesome Dove or something like that. That rocks. So where else are you guys headed?
We're headed to the Mothership tonight, Comedy Mothership.
That's funny, man. So the last, I think, 4 days in a row, we've had listeners in, and they were all going to Mothership that night. Everybody had a blast. Who's headlining tonight? Do you know?
I think it's Joe DeRosa, Joe Liz.
Oh, shit. Joe was on the show. Joe rocks, dude. He was on Drinking Bros.
Okay, yeah.
He fucking rocks. He's great. That'll be an awesome show. Joe's a homie, dude. He's been on the show before. He's fantastic. So if you get to meet him afterwards, just say, hey, dude, Drinking Bros. I heard you on Drinking Bros.
Yes, sir.
He rocks, man. That'll be fun. What time is that tonight?
I think it was 7.
7, yeah. There's usually like a 7 or a 10 or a 7 or a 9 or something like that.
Yeah, I think it was running 7.
Everybody who's been in town, by the way, and this is not to kiss Rogan's ass more than he needs to at this point, has had a blast there. It's beautiful. The only thing I'll tell you is go a little early because everybody's super amped to go, and there's usually, you know, a little bit of a line to get in.
Yes, sir.
And for whatever reason, no lie, it was 86 yesterday. Today it's fucking 12, and I mean, we're all going to get AIDS or whatever happens when you go from hot to cold like that. I'm just assuming it's AIDS. But yeah, go a little early and then, you know, have some booze at the bars and all that stuff down there. Yes, and then it's walking distance to the rest of the cool shit. So you and your wife can go to a bunch of awesome bars.
Yeah, we figured we'd hit 6th Street beforehand.
Yeah, yeah. Big fan of that whole area down there. So enjoy yourself tonight. And thank you for popping into the show.
Yes, sir.
How long are you guys in town for?
We're leaving Monday morning.
Monday morning? Are you guys driving anywhere else?
No, we Ubered out here.
Oh, you did? You want to take a case of Hard AF with you back to the hotel?
That'd be great.
Great. Yeah, help yourself.
Thank you.
After the show is over. We appreciate you making the trek out here, dude. It always means a lot. I know there's a lot of people who can't come up. That bald guy looks super suspicious anyways. He's probably on a fucking list. You don't have to tell me. I know you're on a fucking watch list for something. Like, something happened in a middle school or a park or something like that. And yeah. Feds are involved, Parks and Recreation, and some form of sexual agency. It's fine. Just know that I'm not going to out you, all right? I'm not going to do it. We appreciate you tuning in, kids. Go to iTunes, rate the show a 5-star, and leave a quick review. Also, head on over to Spotify. It's just a 5-star, and you can walk away. 7,700 reviews over there. Get us to 10,000. I'll shut the fuck up about the reviews forever. You have my word on that, all right? 7,100 on iTunes, 7,700 on Spotify. just do the thing. And then the YouTube, subscribe, hit the bell, jiggle a fucking jar of gypsy tears, whatever that is, to kind of fuck up this algorithm. Because it's an election year. They're probably not happy that Papa Trump is starting to steamroll in these goddamn things, so they're going to ding us. Hit the bell. Click the bell in the corner on YouTube. All right? He's not here today, but I'll say for D'Anthony Holloway, Jared Catpuke Taylor, I'm Ross Patterson. This is Drinking Bros Podcast. Good night, everyone.